How's everybody? Praise God. Faith alive is worth the drive. What drive? The drive that you've got to have. You must have a drive that nothing matters. You must have a drive to make faith activated. You must have a place in the Spirit of God that nothing matters. Nothing. Oh, God is trying to bring us to this place where it truly is no longer we that live, but Him in that place. You know, a dad wants the best things for his children, doesn't he? That's why the Bible says the father chastens those. Amen. Why? Because he loves them. But God wants to bring us to a place where we are truly experiencing the Father. That we are experiencing the Father. Are you ready for that? I hope so. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 5? I pray we get revelation, impartation, in a big and mighty way. Is everybody okay? In 1 John chapter 5. I've spoken on some of this before, I'm sure. Can everybody hear me? Is everybody here today? Just because you're here, I want to make sure you're here. Because even though you're here, you may not be here. What did he say? You'll get it later. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, would you all read it with me, please? Is everybody there? For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are, they are what? They are one. Now, I pray that we get a real deep revelation about Father. Everywhere you see in the Bible it talks about God, he's always referencing Father. Are you with me? Now, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, it says that these three are the witnesses of heaven, right? Okay. And they are one. Now, the Father is the source of, he is the source of all eternity. Does everybody get it? Everyone say the Father is the source of all eternity. The Word reveals the Father by knowledge. It is a way of communication. They all don't understand this now. Now listen, the Father is the source of all eternity. The Word reveals the Father by knowledge. Is everybody with me? It is a way of communication, isn't it? Now the Spirit is the expresser. He is the expresser. He is the deliverer, he's the exposer, and he is the promoter of the Father. Come on, I'm going to give this to you again. He is the expresser, he is the deliverer, he is the exposer, and he is the promoter of the Father. Has everybody got it? But the Father is the source of all eternity. All eternity. Amen? Are you with me? Now, the Father, who is the source of all eternity, the Word, who is the knowledge of all eternity, and the Spirit, who is the promoter of all eternity. So, you got to understand something. That's why we don't belong here. Hello? Because we're part of eternity. Now, listen. It says that these are the three that bear witness in heaven, and they are what? One. Now, in simplicity, the Father thinks, the Word speaks, and the Spirit does what? Moves, right? The Word and the Spirit are contained in the Father. Are you with me? Come on, say it with me. The Word and the Spirit are contained in the Father. I want you to be able to look at the Father. He's the Father of the universe. All right? And the Word and the Spirit are contained in the Father. Are you with me? Now, go to verse 8 and read it with me. And there are three that bear witness on earth, and that is the what? The Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. Now, this is the natural realm, right? He said that there are three in the heavenly realm, and these are the three in the natural realm. Are you with me? And he said that it is the what? The Spirit, the what? The water, and the blood. Now, again, the Father, listen, and the knowledge or the Word are contained in the Spirit in the natural realm. Are you with me? Why? Because if the Father, the Word, and the Spirit are one, and the Spirit comes in the natural realm, then who's in the Spirit? The Father and what? The Word. Are you with me? In other words, the knowledge of all eternity. The source of all eternity is now in the Spirit, which is on this side. Are you with me? Are you all right? Is everybody getting this? Okay, good. Hallelujah. The water in the blood is the flesh of the Word. And they agree with the will of the Father. Hello? See, because all on this side now are agreeing with what? It says that they all come to what? They all agree. What? With what? They agree with the will of the Father. Man, you're all quiet today. You all right? Should I repeat that? The Father and knowledge are contained in the Spirit. The water in the blood is the flesh of the Word, and they agree with the will of the Father. Everybody got it? Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God, or if you see the word God, it means what? Father, is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his what? Of his Son. Now, he who has the Son has what? Ooh. And this is the testimony, verse 11, that God has given us what? Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, praise God. We're going to go a little bit here. In verse 9, it talks about that we've received the witnesses. Now listen. God, who represents Father, came to the earth as Son. Does everybody understand that? What did he come for? He came to remove the judgment due to his creation. By experiencing the judgment himself, God never experienced his own judgment. Come on, I want you to understand something. He put on, in other words, the judgment was due to mankind. Until he came as Son, he never experienced it. Does somebody understand that? Okay. I mean, huh? Don't, come on, everybody, all right? God the Father came to what? Why did he come to the earth? As Son. He came what to what? To remove the judgment due to his creation by experiencing the judgment himself, that you may experience his love for you as a father. I'm going to say that one more time. He came to the earth to remove the judgment due to his creation, by experiencing the judgment himself, that you may experience his love for you as a father. That's why he came. In verse 14. Is everybody there? Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that we, if we ask anything according to his what? His will, he what? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. In other words, here it is with relationship with the Father. Is now requested by the asking of things according to his will, which increases a relationship. Do you know that when you are talking to God and you are requesting things that are according to his will, it increases your relationship with him? But the devil always tried to tell you, man, what you keep asking God for? Why don't you just go get it? Why? Because these are things. You know why God keeps you in need? To maintain a relationship. It's not that he's holding anything back from you. It's because he's constantly wanting to have a relationship with you. Listen, if you got 7 dimes or 7 quarters in your pocket and you got a kid that wants one, right? And he says, do you have a dime? Yeah, okay. Well, then you give it to him. It causes a relationship, doesn't it? You communicate. If that child knows you got 6 more left, you know what's going to happen? You know, I spent that one. I just gave you that dime. Well, I know, but could I have another one? See, now there's a relationship that's building. But in the carnal mind, we think it's a building on a relationship of need. But in the spirit, it is a relationship of need. Because without him, we can do nothing. Y'all understand that? See, even in the character of that one time that he gives the dime, there's an expression of love between one another. There's a gratitude. Thank you. Does everybody understand it? Thank you. Thanks for supplying. You know, I felt the love of my Father rip through everyone in here and touch me today through what went on. I saw the love of my Father touch me through you. See, God uses men to declare his love. You know, God created Adam and Eve, right? And what did he do? He put him in the garden to be what? Fathered. He wanted to father them. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. He provided a habitation for his offsprings. Now turn to John 1:1. Oh, hallelujah. John 1:1. Experiencing the Father. You know, I don't know if I can truly express in common language, and that was one of the things I was trying to ask Dad today. I said, Dad, I don't know how to really put this across in common language. When I had my encounter with the Lord, it was though as Jesus was standing there and disappeared, and the Father was there. See, when you really know Jesus is the Father, you'll know the Father. My relationship was not with Jesus. My relationship was with the Father. But by having a relationship with the Father, I was having a relationship with Jesus. Do you understand that? See, I used the name that he gave his son named Jesus, because he gave it himself. He chose that name. It was like somebody walking around with a business card and said, hey, you want to get a hold of me? Here's my name. There's only one phone number. There's an 800 number, 800-G-O-D. And when I had my encounter with the Lord, and I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I was looking for Jesus, and it was as though Jesus was there, but then he was diminishing. The Father was there. And I realized I met my Father. My true Father. Truly Father. And this is where the relationship began. Because it wasn't a relationship with knowledge. It was a relationship with a father. Do you understand that? And that changes your walk. I'm telling you, that will change your walk. When you stop having a relationship with a testimony, hello, and start having a relationship with the Creator. Amen. It's different. Amen. It is different. That's why many people have a relationship with the Bible and never met Him. That's religion. It's not about how much you know. It's about who you know. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, in 1 John, in verse 1, would you read it with me? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I'm going to get in some crazy ground here. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, right? In other words, in the beginning of what? Time. Oh-ho. In the beginning of what? Time. In other words, in the beginning of this universe, because this universe is associated with the beginning of time. God is, you know, I was talking to Dad, I'm thinking, what do you mean by the beginning? He said, Guy, I'm not the beginning. I am. Man almost wiped me out. I am not the beginning, I am. So then I brought me to another place. Okay, so if you're not the beginning, that means you began something. That means you're actually a little bit more different than what my peanut brain can comprehend. I said, that's right. Do you understand this? Now listen. God is not a beginning. He is the I am. The Word was established for me and you in the beginning of this universe. Do you get this? For what? To reveal His knowledge and commune with me and you. Why? Because He's God. Go to verse 14. And the Word became what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Full of what? Grace and truth. So he established the Word to become carnal, to coexist with His creation because of His love for them. Did we get it? It was full of what? Grace and truth. Now we know grace is the plan of escape from the destruction of time. Come on, say it with me. Grace is the plan of escape from the destruction of time. Because where there's a beginning, there's a what? End. Does everybody get it? So the world is under time. But we as eternal beings, as children of the Most High God, offsprings of the Anointed One and His anointing, we are not bound by time. Now, time is running out in this realm, which we've got to move quickly on. But we're not bound by it. What we're trying to do is get people rescued before this realm shuts up and everything in it is destroyed. Oh, hallelujah. So, grace was the plan of God by the Father, the Spirit, right? The Spirit who became, the Word who became flesh. Remember who impregnated Mary? The Holy Spirit. Hello. So we got the Father, the Word in the Spirit in the natural realm. The Father, the knowledge in the Spirit in the natural realm. He took the Word and became flesh. He walked around, called Himself Son. Are you with me? And with Him was the plan of escape known as knowledge to give to all of His creation so they could escape the destruction of time. Oh, glory to the Lamb. Praise You, Master. Now, the truth was to expose the promoter of the destruction of the Father's creation. So he came with truth to expose who was the promoter of the God's creation of destruction. Because he loves that time is running out. Because it's his opportunity to destroy as much as mankind or God's creation as possible. But see, he's so stupid, he doesn't realize his time is running out. Hallelujah. Now go to verse 15. Everybody there? It says that John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And his fullness we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the what? Bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Where was he? In the bosom of God. He was in the bosom of the Father. So who came out of the bosom of the Father? Remember I shared with you already. He was known as the Word then. The three witnesses of heaven. The Father, the Word, and the what? Spirit. The Father is the eternal source. The Word is a representation of what? The knowledge. The revealer of the Father. And the Spirit is the expresser. The promoter. The exposer of the Father. So in the bosom of the Father was laid, not birthed yet. I guess Daddy was pregnant. See, we thought that couldn't happen. And out of him he pulled out and called himself Son. He said, "Listen, you're going. And you're going into the natural realm because I love my creation so much that judgment, time is running out and judgment's going to destroy them all. I've got to go into the natural realm to experience judgment for them and give them the plan of escape of the destruction of time and expose their enemy that they may be with me forever." That's the love of the Father. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. The only begotten of the Father who would become the Father of this universe in the natural realm. Go to Isaiah 9. Did everybody get this? Oh, my body's about to take off. Glory! When he was giving me this testimony, I was just weeping. I couldn't comprehend. There was so much that was in part, I couldn't comprehend it. And I can only pray that it can be expressed where it's understood. Because there are some things that even Paul said, you know, he was brought up into the third heaven. He says, "Man, there were no words. There are no words." And Isaiah in chapter 9 and in verse 6, would you read it with me? It says, "For what? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be what? No end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with what? Judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, and he has. He has. He prophesied that he would come into this realm. Now let me share something with you. These men and women of God that have been touched by the Spirit acknowledged the Father. That's why you have the prophets. You look through the prophets. You look through those who have been touched by God Almighty. One thing they acknowledged was, "Father. Father." Remember, even Jesus said, how do you pray to him? He didn't say pray to me. He said, don't pray to me. He said, use my name, but pray to who? The Father. Why? Because you'd be praying to him anyways. Oh, hallelujah. And John 8. So this was prophesied, wasn't it? He would be called Mighty God. That he would be what? Come on, do you get it? The everlasting Father, the Almighty God, the eternal source of all things, came in the natural realm. Came into the natural realm for me and you. You know, some people, these religious goofballs, they can't acknowledge Jesus as the Father because they don't get the things of the Spirit. They keep calling him Son of God. Yeah, well, he was just the Son of God. No, he wasn't. I mean, you don't get it. That's when they start running from you, when you start telling them the truth. You got to chase them down the street. Wait a minute. Praise God. In John chapter 8, they want to witness Jehovah, but they don't even know who he is. Hello? I'm telling you, they want to witness Jehovah and they have no idea who he is. I'm a Jehovah Witness. Well, okay, who is he? Well, he's in the Word. Come on, man. You got a relationship with knowledge. He's Father. He is. He was and will always be. He's not bound by time. He's the creator of it. And John 8:15, would you read it with me? Come on, you ready? You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself. And the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? And Jesus said, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not come. Wow, now go to verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am who? He. You know what he's trying to say? Then he is who? The Father. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. And he spoke these words. Many believed. Whoa. See, he was now telling them, if you see me, remember when Philip asked them? Show us the Father. What did he say? If you see me, you see the Father. Right? Remember when he said, listen, he prayed and he was interceding for the disciples. And he said, Father, I have declared your name. Well, what was the Father's name? Jesus. Why? Because that's what he declared on the side. He said, no one comes to the Father except for through me. In other words, no one comes to the Father except for through the Father. No one gets to Daddy except for through Daddy. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 54. Psalm 54. John 54. John verse 54. John 8 verse 54. Hallelujah. Told you I was going to have a hard time speaking. I better break that off now in Jesus' name. I will not make covenant with that in Jesus. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is what? Nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. So now he's telling them, man, don't you get it? God is the Father. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and how have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, glory! I am! Oh, they didn't know they were talking to God, Father. They didn't know that they were talking to the source of all eternity who was standing there right in front of them. They had no idea. And boom. They had no idea the visitation of the eternal source of all creation was standing right in front of them, speaking to them and giving them knowledge that they can escape the destruction of time. They had no idea. Boy, my hair's standing right up. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? You ought to be, man. Now, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw away at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They couldn't handle it. Now, something very important, because Abraham was an expression of the Father in the natural realm. Very important. And he was talking about Abraham, because see, they were honoring Abraham as a father, but if they could just get the things in revelation of the Spirit, they'd realize that he was the expression of God the Father. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Genesis 17. Praise God. Genesis 17. My dad. Better lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. You got to get drunk to get this stuff. See, it's the only time that you need to get drunk to get the real knowledge. Other than that, when you're drunk, you don't understand nothing in the world. They got to keep. That's why they keep repeating themselves. What? Huh? Who? Hey. But see, in the spirit, you don't have to. You don't even have to speak. You just yeah. Hallelujah. In Genesis 17 and verse 1, are y'all there? Glory to God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. I bet you he got shocked. Can you imagine God Almighty standing before him going, listen, I'm Almighty God. Walk right. You don't think he wanted to walk right? I don't think he said a word. He didn't compromise or nothing, man. At least for a few little while. He said, I will make my covenant between me and you. Do you understand it? He said, I'll make a covenant between who? Me and you. You know who said that? Jesus. You know when he said that? He said, who do they say that I am? And then he said, who do you say that I am? Why? He was making covenant between you and him. Daddy was just repeating himself. Oh, hallelujah. Then Abram, I will make a covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Tuesday we're going to talk about prepare for overflow. Glory. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him and saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and make the nations of you, and will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I will give to you your descent and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abram, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be what? Circumcised. And you shall become circumcised in the flesh of your skin, foreskins. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house, he who is bought with your money, must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. See, now Jesus came and was considered circumcised. When his flesh was torn apart, he took the circumcision for all mankind, that they may obtain the covenant with Almighty God. Do you all understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Genesis 22. Now we know that Abraham was promised a son to be the seed, the promised seed. Right? And he was what? Isaac. And verses 1 through 3. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am, Lord. And he said, take now your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, I don't know of anywhere else where God said, offer me a child. Now, I want you to understand something. The expression of Abraham was a representation of God the Father Almighty by himself. Why? Because, now listen, Abraham, first of all, had Ishmael, who was not the promised seed. Then he had Isaac, who was the promised seed. Right? Now, the Lord tells Abraham, take Isaac and go what? Offer him. Well, who was offered in his place? Jesus. Do you understand? So he was expressing, God promised Abraham to be a father, but he wanted him to experience him. He wanted him to experience what it'd be like to be the father. Remember, he said, you're going to be a father to all nations. He said, for you to be a father to all nations, you're going to have to experience what I'm going to have to go through. Come on, do you get this? Now, Ishmael, now I want you to understand this. The Bible talks in the book of Job, it says, when the angels, the sons of God came before the Lord. Now, the sons of God were known as angels. All right? And then Satan came, because see, Satan was still considered a son of God. Even though he was the highest ranking angel there was. He was God's right hand man. He was as close to God as almost anybody else could get. He was the praise and worship leader of the universe. Amen. So I want you to look at now as Ishmael is Lucifer. Do you understand that? And Isaac is Jesus. Do you see that? Okay. Come on, I'll go a little further. Oh, hallelujah. Now, in verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had, what, told him. Go to verse 9. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on an altar upon the wood. Now you got to remember, God never asked, there's nothing recorded that he asked anyone else to burn their child. Now, Abraham didn't do nothing. I'm sure he was beating his flesh down. Wait a minute. But you know what? He was holding on to the promise, not to the circumstance. Do you get it? He was holding on. Why? He was walking in live faith. I mean, come on, man. Think about how much God was pleased with Abraham's faith. He was walking, he wasn't being threatened by the circumstance. He was holding on to the promise that he had, the promised seed, his son Isaac. Oh, now if you look, if you go further down, look at this happened to others. Look at down what happened to Isaac. He had two sons, didn't he? Esau and Jacob. And one sold his birthright for the world, for food. And the other one carried the promised seed. So it went down, didn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Okay, where are we at? Praise God. Oh, okay. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you reverence or fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for the burnt offering instead of his son. Why? Because God provided, didn't he? Remember, you and I were supposed to be the ones that were offered up. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, here God Almighty prophesies, brings it into existence. Remember, the Bible says that the Old Testament is things to come. Talks about things to come. Amen? For before Abraham could be, he was promised and prophesied to be the father of nations. He had experienced the father by offering the son. Go to Mark 1. Hallelujah! Oh, praise God. Is it hot in here or is it you? Whew. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Thank you, dear. Mark chapter 1. There's a wind a-blowing. In verse 9. Is everybody there? And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming out from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Now, I'd like to see it at every baptism, but it doesn't happen that way. You know. Many people are like, man, you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet? Yeah. Good. Where's your language? Well, what do you mean? So, man, come on. You get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you get another language. You get to talk to your father. Well, yeah, they sprinkled water on me when I was about 5. Yo, homie, that's not how it's done. That's not what it's about. Let me explain this to you. It's got nothing to do with sprinkling water on you or sticking your head underneath the faucet and getting baptized. It's about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When God the Father sends His Spirit on you and in you, the scales come off. Something happens. You just met your Father. Hello. It makes knowledge irrelevant. I said, whoa. Dad, is that you? Am I on camera? And something happens when you are baptized in Holy Spirit. Now look it. Then the voice came from heaven and said, what? You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the avenue to relationship between a father and a child. This is close relationship. See, religion has long distance relationship. Come on, are you listening? It's long distance relationship. When you are baptized in the Spirit, which is not the sprinkling of water. Like I said, if we sprinkled water on everybody and they got baptized, I'd be carrying buckets of water with me everywhere I went. And I'd sprinkle some water and hey, you got it, bam, bam. Whoo. Then you go, oh, Father, that'd be nice. But that's not how it happens. Amen? Man, everybody be carrying buckets. There goes those believers. Look at that. You haul water. When you get baptized in the Spirit, you get revelation of the Father. You understand that? Praise God. In Romans 8, would you go there? Why? Because God is Spirit, isn't He? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 15. Hallelujah! Romans 8:15. Would you start there with me? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father! And what spirit is that? The Holy Spirit. Why? Because what's contained in the Holy Spirit? The Word. Amen? The Word. The Father. The knowledge. The relationship. See, other than that, there's long distance. It's like writing a letter to someone and waiting for an answer to come back. And you don't know if it's going to. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's where the devil wants to put people. They promote the baptism of John, but they don't promote the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost promotes relationship. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go on. Verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears what? Witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of the Father. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 64. Oh, praise God. Isaiah 64. In verse 8. Watch what happens when these men all get touched by the Spirit. They all have a relationship with the Father. But now, O Lord, you are what? Our Father, you are the clay, and you are potter, and all we are the work of your hand. So what he acknowledged him is what? Father. Look at Jeremiah 3. In verse 4. Will you not from this time cry to me, My Father, you are the guide of my youth. Will he remain angry forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken and done evil things as you were able. Now understand this. He acknowledged him. He says, listen, aren't you not going to cry out and ask me to be what? Father. Why? Because of the evil things that they did. He said, you're going to cry out. And ask. Go to 1 Chronicles 29. When you get touched by the Spirit, something happens. It's called relationship and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Believe me, these prophets were baptized in the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit of the Lord was upon them, wasn't it? Amen? Man, they'd be walking down somewhere going, and all of a sudden, okay. I know it. I've experienced it. Even though I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord would come upon me. And like one time I was driving down the road and He came right through the roof of my car. Bam! And sat right next to me. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I wanted to go witness to this insurance agent. And I said, okay. I went to this insurance agent. I looked out the front. I got out of the car. I said, man, there's a lot of... Never mind. I walked over because I was thinking, man, there's a lot of... How are you going to get rid of all these people in there? I opened the door. Within 2 minutes, the place was empty, and me and him were standing there. I left that day, got in the car, and that's when a horse came up and talked with me, and I'm not going in there. Hallelujah. I'm not going there right now. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And verse 10. Is everybody there? It says, therefore David blessed the Lord God before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Your kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. David got touched by God. Amen. Go to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Praise God. First three verses, if you'll read it with me. Is everybody all right? You getting this? Man, I'm telling you, your life's going to change today. When you understand the evidence of the Father, experiencing the Father. Praise God. See, they're celebrating next door. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Oh, so we haven't seen Him as He is yet. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Now, I want you to understand something. Bible to Genesis, the book of Genesis says this. It says, the first verse it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. So we know that the heavens and the earth, the spirit realm and everything was established with the universe, wasn't it? Amen? So in that, that's when God expressed word, spirit, and everything else was available for me and you. Do you understand that? He set up everything. So what you and I see in this universe right now, as we begin to step further and further back, and we see Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is only a speck of the source of eternity. If God could express His fullness to us, we couldn't exist. Do you understand that? He took that chunk out of eternity, called it time, created a universe, and placed what He needed to place in it, came Himself. Jesus is the Father of the universe now. Do you understand that? See, all things were created through Him and for Him. So God, see, we can't, our peanut brain can't comprehend that God can be God in all our places. In fact, the Bible even says that He's going to take a creation from another fold. Do you understand that? In other words, there are those who are from another fold that He's going to bring with us, and we're all going to be together. Oh, hallelujah, that's a whole other thing. 2 Corinthians 6. Praise God. Okay. And verse 16. And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Oh, if we could just get that. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If, that therefore means if You'll come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And then I will be a what? Father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And I want to close at 1 Peter 1. Praise God, experiencing the Father. Thank you, Dad. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. Is everybody there? Oh, it's good to hear the pages turn on a Sunday morning. And if you call on the Father, who is without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in reverence or fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in him. Experiencing the Father. There isn't anything greater than experiencing the Father. Now we're going to prepare ourselves for communion, because that's experiencing the Father. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we apply the blood of Jesus on every one of these seeds that was imparted, and I pray that everyone will have an experience with the revelation of the Father. You, Daddy. You, Jesus, who became the Father, who was the Father, who's the expression of the Father. We thank you, Master. And we ask for your forgiveness in every area where we have fallen short, where we've offended you, where we've been disobedient in any way. Prepare our hearts today, Lord, as we have communion with you in the Spirit and in Jesus' name.